Yeah.
Check it out.
See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Yeah, boy, it's August 23rd, and it's episode 181, and this is a Fantasy Football Auctioneer podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer podcast is the official podcast of the fantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. We've got a great show for you tonight. Tonight, we got John Bosch. He's on the show. He's from a lot of different podcasts. We got the Dynasty Game Night. We got the Dynasty Wall Street. He was recently on the 2QB experience where he was on the show with Travis May of DLF and they were hitting up some auction strategies. You can find him on Twitter. He is at JohnBoschFF. John, thanks for being here tonight.
Look at you preparing, making a change on the day of the recording. I literally just changed my Twitter handle today, so.
I'm gonna throw that out to Slim. He created it and got everything all set up, so we'll give him a shout out for that one. I didn't even know that there was a change, but nice work, Slim.
Yeah, good job on him. Yeah, finally made the change to put my name in there. It was time, so.
We go by our nicknames when we first got started. It was, we were a little bit worried because maybe there was some gambling reference and us being educators, we might get ourselves in trouble. So
I completely understand that.
We threw on nicknames. So that's how I come up with the Uncle Buckets and now all of a sudden that's who I am. I'm Uncle Buckets. That's just, so it's my persona when it comes to the podcast.
Yep. Yeah. I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have you on here too. So I was listening to Dynasty Game Night actually it was yesterday. I was driving with my wife home. We were coming home from Toronto, but we fly in and then I have a 3.5 hour drive home from the nearest airport. So we're in the middle of nowhere, but we were listening to it and she was letting me, which was kind of her. And I was like, oh, hey, I hadn't listened to it before. And I thought this is kind of neat with the actual game show. I was trying to figure out, well, what do you mean game night? Are they going to play games? Oh no, they're going to play games. And so then I was starting to do the ADP and I was calling out, well, maybe this guy, wonder how many points they're doing the cliffhanger one. You guys were doing that one. And, my wife looked at me and I'll shut it off. I'll listen to it on my own later on. Yeah. It was a little bit too boring, but,
I would imagine that reaction is not uncommon.
For sure. Yeah. The wives don't always get into it. But John, tell us a little bit about yourself and what brings you onto the pod.
Yeah, I mean, I love auctions, so I am stoked to talk auctions. That's, to me, honestly, it's really the only way to do any kind of a fantasy football draft. So when we talked about having me come on, I'm stoked. I've been playing Dynasty now for this will be year 3 for me.
Okay.
I've been playing redraft forever, I think is probably the best way to put it. No, I think it was like 1997 when I started playing fantasy football. Still in that league. It's still nice. A terribly randomized order for a snake draft, but whatever. It's the original league, so it's, you know, something you can't really like give up once you've played in it for 20 plus years with the same group of guys that you went to high school with and everything.
That's right. And that I was making the reference the other day. You've seen the movie Tag. That's where they play, those grown men play tag all over the place.
I have not seen that yet, but it does look like one that's entertaining.
Yeah, it's good. So we were at the movie and my buddy's wife leaned over and said, oh, I can see you guys playing tag like that. I said, well, we do. It's not tag. It's called fantasy football. But like, because the moral of the story is it's not about the game. It's about bringing people together. So.
Exactly.
So having a 20-year league, that's awesome. I love to hear that. I hope some of my leagues reach 20 for sure.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I look forward to it every year. We still have a live draft, you know. Like I said, it's a draft, so meh. But overall, it's super exciting because you get to go and have fun.
Exactly. Well, we've got our big one coming up, our big home league coming up next weekend on the Labor Day weekend. So we do a little golf in the morning and then we do some drafting and It's a full day, especially when it's a live auction. You can't change it for anything. I tried to explain to Ross Tucker today when I was on the show. There you go. Hashtag name dropping. But, when I was, he said, you know, convince me, tell me why I should be playing auction. And I don't know why he's not playing auction, to be honest with you, but that.
Here's my answer to that question. Yeah, anytime somebody asks. All right. So if you get the 101 based on some random order, are you going to just give that away to literally anybody else in the draft without them having to give up something more than their first round pick? And the answer is always no. Somebody's going to have to pay up to get this. Why should they have to pay up because you won something randomly? Like, that's just dumb. That's right. It's so unrealistically unfair. And everybody's like, well, that's just, you know, you got lucky. Yeah, you just got lucky. That's all it is. You're right. That's exactly what happened is you got lucky. half the people got lucky. Half the people got lucky. Well, you're going to go first in the second round. Okay. How about you just trade me your first and second and I'll trade you my first and second. Oh, I don't want to do that. Then I don't have a shot at getting Todd Gurley.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So you're making, like, at that point, I mean, it's just, you can talk in circles with some people. They just like their drafts, which is fine.
Yeah, but that's fine.
That's my argument. If somebody can ever tell me how the drafting is fair with that, and people at the back end of the first have no shot to take the people that were taken in front of them. That's you have no chance unless you spend extra, which you should not have to do. Now, I mean, like sometimes when you do a draft and it's based on, you know, some sort of competition to determine the order. Yeah, I'm good with that. Like, that's fine. Cause then somebody earned it, but random order draft. Ugh, it's just gross.
Well, and my big complaint I'm hearing lots lately is they take too long. I'm like, really?
So who cares? It's fun.
Yeah. And you spend all summer getting ready for it. Yes. And so the extra hour of hanging out with your buddies and drinking beer or whatever the case may be, that's a downfall of the auction, is that it takes too long. No, it should take longer. That's what you want. You want more time, more time.
I think we had our yearly annual, whatever, salary cap auction for all the free agents and rookies at my house a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we started it, you know, the target was to start at like 4:15. I think we finally got underway around 5, but everybody was already there 4 o'clock, you know, whatever, enjoying life. Sure. And I don't think we wrapped until almost midnight, but we all knew that's what it was going to be. We all took the night and we knew it was just us and we were responsibility free and just enjoying our auction. So
awesome.
It's so much fun. It does take longer. There's no doubt about that, but. It's so much more fun.
Exactly. And that's what I was trying to pump to him, is that the idea that you can create your own rosters not on based on some random event. It's the chess versus checkers debate. It's all those checkers. Things, right? So
you're involved with every single player instead of two players every 24, two out of every 24 players, you know, or one out of 12, whatever. But, you know, I think in pairs when I'm thinking of drafts, I think it pairs around. So, but with an auction, you're involved in every single player. Granted, it's a player you don't want, you just move on. But, you know, it's just more exciting to me. It's more fun. It's way more challenging. I've told many people, you can, in a draft, you cannot make a pick and just have the computer make a pick for you. And you will come out with an average team because it'll go by average draft position.
Yep.
In an auction, if you don't participate, you're dead.
You've got five quarterbacks and six defenses if you're playing with one of those and whatever, right? So,
there's no hiding in an auction.
That's right. Well, hey, you know what? People who are listening to this podcast know that anyways. They're not tuning into an auction podcast because they don't know any better. So why don't we just get
to the choir?
That's right. So why don't we just get into this? So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action.
That's not a sound drop. That's actually a live.
A live drop, man. That's what it is.
That is good to know. I always kind of wondered. Hey, I did.
They're always live.
Nice.
And you know what? It was just, I was looking for something to transition and I found that sound clip somewhere. So that's, we do a little Cypress Hill and away we go. So anyway,
I completely bungled your transition with.
Yeah, that's okay. No problem. So anyways, hey, so John, tell us a little bit about like what you're doing right now. Cause draft season's, you know, hot and heavy right now. So what are you doing right now to get yourself ready for auction drafts?
I mean, I don't actually do a lot of prep work as the season approaches, because I pretty much have been auctioning the entire off season.
Right.
I mean, I go out of my way to kind of set up like best balls even, where people just throw in a few bucks and I run it as an auction because it keeps me practicing the entire off season. So, I mean, I don't have to wait now to get ready. At this point, I'm ready. Just give me more auctions. Because I've been doing them the whole time. I really think auctioning is a skill that if you don't practice it, it'll grow stagnant. So I try to stay active the entire off season, at least having a best ball auction, going on, just so that I can, it allows me to try out different strategies too.
Yeah.
If I'm only putting a couple bucks down on a best ball, sometimes I can use it as just research to test something out. And I'd rather do that than a mock, because then everybody else in the auction actually has something riding on it too.
Exactly.
And they have an interest level. I think a lot of them are doing the same thing just to, keep us active, keep us in that auction mindset.
Awesome. So is there like a site you're using to do that, or are you bringing guys over and then you're inputting it yourself? How are you doing that?
I just do them on my fantasy league. I'll set them up on there and just run them as long running auctions. It's definitely not exactly going to prep you for a live auction. That's a different experience that I wish I could create, continuously to be prepared for, but I don't know that it'd be great if I hosted, a 4 or 5 hour auction at my house on a routine basis. That might not go over so well.
Well, we thought about doing it as, back when Texas Hold'em was kind of a big thing and you'd have poker nights or whatever, and maybe just do it as a rotating thing over the summer and have 4 or 5 at different buddies' houses and all get together and just throw $5 in or $10 in and do a best ball and get some practice in that way. And
that's a cool idea.
Kind of get together, eh?
But I'd rather do that than play poker.
Yeah.
For a night
absolutely.
Of poker. Love it, but I would much rather auction.
I hear you. So, hey, so that's some of the things that you're doing to get ready. What's some things that from last year's drafts that maybe you learned, or the mistakes that you made that you're going to try to correct? But what are some things from last year's drafts that you're going to take into 2018 this year?
No, nothing, because I was perfect last year, obviously. Nobody ever messes up in an auction, right?
Right, right. You're always so happy with your team when you walk out of the room.
Right? You're like, that's exactly what I was going to phone for, and I knew every price. I was right on the money.
Exactly.
My biggest change from this year, or from last year to this year, has basically been have zero expectations going in. The first year I played in 2016, I sat down and I really prepared. Like every single auction that I did, mm-hmm. I would lay out all the players. I would put down my budgets on them. I had my budgets per positions. I found myself sometimes wanting to go beyond that, but then I wouldn't. I would stick to my budget, and that didn't feel great. And last year I would, I kind of prepared the stuff, but then I would allow myself to go beyond my limits, and I liked last year a lot better. So going into this year, I've realized I don't really have to prepare now. Like, I mean, I do have like some mental amounts in my head that I have expectations of, mm-hmm. but I adjust rapidly in the auctions now. You can't really prepare for how an auction is going to go because they're all different. So now that I'm in my third year of really doing auctions heavily, I don't really go in with like a set plan. I have some things that I kind of want to do.
Yeah.
But if it's for a real league that I am focused on, I try to go in with no preconceived notions, because I want to spend like the first day or two really finding out what's going on, and I want to give myself the flexibility to really attack a league however I choose to do it.
Yeah.
And so
you're talking more of in a slow auction format.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder like in a live fast auction.
Yeah.
Then you really have to go. You kind of have to make the decision. Do I want to come out aggressive and go for the first couple of studs that come out? Or do I want to sit back, understand that I'm not going to get OBJ or Todd Gurley, but I'm going to see how much other people are going to be paying. If I'm in an auction like that, I mean, I pay attention to the people, not that won that player, because they can't win a guy on that level again usually. But I'll kind of watch where somebody will drop out. So, if somebody's going after Todd Gurley and they drop out, at $40 of a $200 budget, I'm going to assume that when it gets to Ezekiel Elliott, they probably don't want to spend 40 on Ezekiel Elliott either. Because if they're going to spend 40 on Zeke, they probably would have spent 40 on Bell or on Gurley. So I do kind of watch for that if I'm in a fast auction. That allows me to try and get a pretty quick grasp on how I think the other owners are auctioning. And figuring out how they're auctioning is probably way more important than knowing how I want to auction, actually.
Well, and that's something I talked about on the Fantasy Feast today, too, with Evan. He was asking about bidding. And it's one of the things we've been talking about a little bit more lately is this idea of changing your bidding habits in the draft for that very reason, so that people can't get a read on you.
Yeah.
So you maybe do some fast, $1, $1, $1 bids, or sit and wait in the weeds a little bit for somebody. The other night I was in a draft with Blister, and it was when we did the live draft. Terrible audio, by the way. But anyways, I was bidding up Kamara. I was actually, my whole plan was to go RB0 on that one. And I had actually on the side went, I'm going to spend about $20 at running back and just see what this actually looks like. It wasn't a big draft. So Emmy was with some buddies, but it wasn't with any sort of sharks or anything. So I thought I was going to do that, but I wanted people to think I was going to go RB. So then Kamara's on the board, and I gave a couple of hits, and he's at 40, and I kind of wait. He's at 45. I kind of wait. I'm thinking he's going to go for well over 50, but at 48, I do a plus one to go to 49, thinking, I'm just going to show everybody that maybe I'm going RB heavy. And ended up with him at 45 or 49, which has made me more than happy. And then I just readjusted and away we went. But that was kind of my concept there, was to try to fake my hand a little bit to other people. So using my bidding as actual strategy.
Yeah, I've done something similar in just about every auction this year. It's not something that I did last year, because I was unsure if it would work.
Right.
So I started trying it out early on this year. I came out like the first day and I just jacked up prices.
Sure.
I mean, if it's a slow auction and there's 12 guys on the board, I bumped them up. Like, I just said, all right, hey, if you guys want to let me have these, this is going to be my roster. Inevitably, like, people ended up coming over the top, which was my goal. I wanted to spend somebody else's money. So I literally jumped these guys out of where I was, just beyond where I was comfortable paying. But I mean, I did it immediately, because then what happened the next day when another 12 guys hit the board, then all of a sudden everybody's looking at these prices. And what it does is it creates all of these tiers going up early on. So there's people just flooding the board with money early on. And then you can kind of just sit and wait. In that middle tier, you can really start to attack. So that's a move that I tried a lot. I don't think I'm going to be able to get away with it next year, because I think a lot of people recognized it. They started calling me out on it.
All right.
My last couple ones, they're like, we know what you're doing. We see what you're doing. You're literally just pumping this one or two or three guys up super high, hoping that somebody takes them off your hands. We're going to stick you with them. So I did get burned like in one cheap little $5.
Yeah.
But that's all right. I mean, I got away with it like for the entire summer. So.
Right. Well, and I mean, you didn't do it until it was out of control. Like, oh, I'm going to, let's go 69, 70, right?
Where it was still within a realm where I felt, all right, I don't really want to pay 25% for this guy on day one of an auction. But okay, at least I've got this player on my roster now, and now I have plenty of time to adjust accordingly. So that was important that I, that's another reason I did it early. If it backfired, it at least still gave me time to adjust. But
right, to get it figured out. Okay, so you've been doing lots of auctions already here this summer. What are some trends that you're seeing in auctions so far?
You can get wide receivers pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Really, really cheap. Like the cheapest I think I've ever seen wide receivers. I mean, that's not shocking, seeing as what happened last year with fantasy scoring and running backs really kind of taking over the stronghold of the fantasy game. People won on the backs of running backs last year. So they're attacking them. I mean, the prices on them are going up. And inevitably, somebody has to be cheaper then. Tight ends and quarterbacks already pretty cheap. So the wide receivers have come back down. And there's a lot of depth at wide receiver. So I'm guilty of it too. I've spent up at running back. I mean, you kind of have to if you want if you want a top guy, you have to spend, but you just have to know which wide receivers then that you can get cheaply to make up that difference. And there's plenty of them out there. So unfortunately, as everybody has shifted to spending on running backs, if you want to compete and have one of those running backs, you kind of have to do the same thing, or you have to get lucky and hit on some of the zero RB guys that you can attack.
So who are some of those receivers that you're seeing that are coming in at good value?
Wide receivers at good value. I mean, I'm shocked by the top, by like Mike Evans' price, for instance. He's one that's been pretty cheap all year. It feels like people seem to hate him after last year, whereas last year they loved him. I mean, right. He's still the same player. The offense is, I think, is actually improved going into this year. I mean, they've got more weapons around them. You know, hopefully as that offense continues to grow together, Mike Evans will bounce back. Julio is always cheap. People just hate him now. So getting Julio has become a lot easier. Those are probably the top two, like, cheap guys at that upper level. As for like mid level, Emmanuel Sanders, he's always cheap. So you can always get him. Marvin Jones, people just don't like him. People don't want to spend on him. Marvin Jones, I've got him on so many teams, because I'm willing to, I think he's a good receiver. Yeah. I'm willing to spend on him. As for like the very bottom level, I'm trying to think. I mean, down there you can get all kinds of guys when you want to dig down really deep. And, you know, if you're talking about like guys you can get at the end of an auction for a dollar, guy like, you know, John Ross, I don't even like John Ross, but I've actually thrown him up early in a couple of auctions for a dollar just to see if I can get him to go through when nobody's thinking, well, okay, you know, I'm one that I will fill several spots with a dollar. Yeah. So the sooner I can get those dollar spots filled in an auction, the better off for me. So he's one that I've thrown up. I don't really expect much of him because I don't really like him. And I used to be a Bengals fan. I'm no longer a Bengals fan, but
I see the Ocho Cinco behind you.
Yeah, but he's cheap. I mean, the guys that have been disappointing in the past, Josh Doxson's always, you know, he's cheap in every single auction. Again, I'm not a huge fan, but he's a guy that's going to be on the field, so right. I'll take him. And when you get down that low, I'm really going to take him. Robert Woods has been extremely cheap, which is surprising to me because he's coming off of a good season. I don't think his role in the offense is going to change just because Sammy's gone and Cooks is in there. Yeah. Like, I still think Robert Woods' role is still the same. So he and Cooper Kupp are two guys that I've targeted a lot this year. I'm not going to spend up for Cooks, but I'll be happy to get Kupp or Woods at a let's call them lower mid, somewhere around there. Sure. They seem to go.
We've got Woods right now as an AAV of $9. And if you look at Cooper Kupp, that's $5. Like that's from all the numbers that we're getting, right? Which has just been flooding lately too. It's just the guys, we're just getting mock drafts like crazy, which we take with a grain of salt too, because of the fact of being mocks. But now we're starting to get live drafts too that people are actually sending us.
I don't think that's outrageous to expect to get them for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, either one of those guys will be a solid start for you as your, you know, wide receiver three or your flex or whatever it is. And so if you can lock in one of those guys, then you can afford to spend an extra 10 or 15 bucks on running back.
Exactly.
I mean, so unfortunately you have to overspend if you want any running back that's a, you know, round one running back if you were doing a draft.
Yeah, no, for sure. So when we're looking at that about spending money, what are some of your favorite budget allocations right now or your roster constructions? Like what type of teams are you building right now?
Well, most of the leagues I play in are super flex.
Okay, perfect.
So I unfortunately, I start with quarterback. I mean, you kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go as far as I don't mind spending 50% of my budget on two quarterbacks. If I'm in a 14 team super flex, which is what most of mine are, like that's a lot of money.
Absolutely.
But if you don't have them on your roster, you're struggling. So I will attack the quarterback spot really hard in a super flex. If it's not super flex, I won't attack it at all. Like I'll get a guy for a dollar. I don't care.
Right.
I'll get three or four guys for a dollar or two and move on from there. Like I said, I don't really try and go by amounts anymore.
Okay.
But I'm no longer uncomfortable with filling my roster however I can get the best deals. If that means I have like eight running backs and two wide receivers at the end of the auction, I'm actually okay with that. if I bought them for the prices that I thought was the right price, I feel like I can make those trades. I'm pretty active with trading. Okay. So I don't mind coming out of an auction with an extremely uneven roster. I don't look to fill, you know, my starting lineup and then my bench and have, you know, three running backs plus three running backs on my bench to replace them. I don't build that way anymore because I think that puts me at a disadvantage. If I go into an auction thinking that and all of a sudden I see the seventh running back on the board and I've already got six and I'm like, oh man, that guy's a really good deal, but I don't need another running back. That's true. I probably don't need him, but if I can get him for a deal and turn him into a wide receiver that I do need, that's, you know, I'm good with that. So that's when I'm auctioning, I really just try and seek out the value of as many guys as I can and spend up on the guys that I'm forced to spend up. I mean, there are some guys that I want this year. I want Le'Veon Bell if it's single season. I don't want him in Dynasty anymore. I'm not spending up on him there.
Yeah.
But in a single season, I want Bell. I want him to be my number one running back this year. I will spend up for him. And people know that and they run me up for him. But, you know, I'll go pretty high on him. He's one that I will easily exceed. A lot of people think 25% is kind of, you don't want to spend more than 25% on one guy. I'll spend it on him because he's such a rock in your starting lineup.
Right. Well, I mean, and right now we have the AAV on him at $64. So you're
that's way more. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that doesn't scare me at all to go up and spend up like that to get him and lock him in. And then I'll just pair him with, I'll pair him with both Rams receivers. I'll put Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp on my roster. And
there you go.
There's three starting positions for what was the total then? Like $80.
Yeah, less than, yeah, it would be. Well, yeah, about $80, yeah.
Works
so
for me.
Is that how you're tackling the running back position then this year? Is you're trying to get one of those big name RBs and then fill around it?
Yeah, I do try to get at least one of the big ones. I mean, I don't think you're going to win your championship without them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you're going to, but and then I try to get, you know, I want one of the big four. I really do want one of the big four. That's my ideal goal, is get one of them.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't, if literally all four of them get priced to the point where I'm not comfortable, then I know at least somebody's spending a ton of money to get them.
Right.
So then I do tend to shift, and then I try to go after like a pair. I try to get like Melvin Gordon and Howard. Like,
right.
I try to get two of them. Whereas like if I get one of the top four, those two guys, they're just, I know I'm not getting either of those. So at that point, then I just have to move to that. You know, if I get a top guy, I probably am looking in whatever tier three, tier four. If it's a long running auction or if it's a short running auction, if I already have my top guy locked up, I don't nominate like the Melvin Gordons or Kareem Hunts. I don't nominate from that tier to try to spend other people's money. I'll drop way down. And at that point, then I'll be like, all right, I don't care if this is the second round of auctioning. I'll put up like Geo, you know,
okay. Yeah.
Because then I can lock him. If I can either lock him on my roster for really cheap or somebody else has a running back and then gets in that mindset of they've filled one of their running back spots. Cause a lot of people want to come out with a complete team out of their auction.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it sounds a little different when it's in that slow draft with so many guys on the, up on the board each time. I've done just a couple of those and it is very different. And
yeah.
I find it interesting because we had a guest on last week who was talking about, you know, how his research is showing that, it's Mike from the football guy, from the footballers, but he's talking about how if you put a guy like Gio out, well above his positional rank. So his idea is like,
get him out early.
Well, but his idea is like, if a guy goes out, let's say there's seven running backs off the board. If you put running back 25 out, then he'll actually go, like people will overspend for him.
They will.
In that regard, right? So that's just, but sounding a little bit different than if you're thinking, well, you can sneak Geo in because there's 12 other guys up on the board right now and
they're all bidding on that. Yeah. I mean, it's either way, it's a win. Either I get the guy that I want for kind of cheap or somebody else spends more than what they should have spent for him.
Right.
It can go either way. It kind of depends on how your league mates view the board. Sometimes they see Gio on there and they think, oh, I'm not going for him. Why would I go for him when I can go after, you know, Hunt and Gordon, Howard, Fournette? These guys are on the board. I'd much rather have one of them. So then what happens is they kind of tangle, you know, with a whole bunch of other league mates going for those four. And as that clock just cycles and they go back and forth on those guys, Gio just goes up, up, up the board. Now there are plenty of other times where somebody will see that and be like, all right, well, Gio's up there. I'm just going to shift to him.
Right.
But then at least they're spending money and it's raising the price on somebody who shouldn't cost that much. So
right.
There's really no downside to doing that.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, and that's part of like when we were talking about that in back of my head, I'm like, well, then maybe that is an idea. You throw out some of those lower tiered guys earlier in the draft to get them, you know, five extra bucks here, two extra bucks there. And then all of a sudden there people are inflating those guys so you can find deals later on too. So it was an interesting point, and he, you know, illustrated it in a couple of live draft results that we sent to him. You know, as long as he had the nomination orders, he could definitely see that he had some number, like 70% of the time you'll overspend for that lower tiered guy if he's out before his position rank. So I thought that was pretty interesting data to have.
So, I will say I have a three quarterback. It's a one quarterback, but two super flex. You can play up to three. Just a best ball auction going on. And again, this is just to continue to practice.
Yeah.
My first, you can nominate two people on day one. My first two nominations were Aaron Rodgers, because I know he's going to cost somebody a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And Teddy Bridgewater.
There you go.
I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers was my nomination. If he wasn't, I bid on him and I put him up to $100 of our $320 budget. And then I put Bridgewater up for $1. So
right.
My next day I nominated AJ McCarron. you know, like, so I really do like the idea of throwing out, making sure there's some expensive prices on the board, but then also trying to throw out some guys that, hey, like, if I get them for $1, I'm going to be super happy.
Exactly.
Otherwise, somebody else is going to pay a lot more. And Teddy Bridgewater's price has climbed every day because it only goes up like $1 or two a day, but every day his price just keeps going up. And all I can think is, man, you better hope that he gets traded the way they're talking, because there's no way he's playing over Darnold. Like, no way.
Yeah.
Man.
So, hey, I was going to ask you, like, do you find now, like, you're starting to name specific players, like, then the teams that you're starting to build or you have built, are there common names, like a common thread there? You're acquiring the same guy, you're targeting the same guy over and over again?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, single season, I want Bell.
Yeah.
I definitely want him. If it's Dynasty and it's Super Flex, I rarely get the top guys. I mean, I don't spend all the way up there. The quarterbacks I end up with are Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, and that's awesome. Fine. That is perfectly fine with me. They're cheaper than they should have been, and they will just be a nice solid duo for me to start. So, and for years to come, same. I'm comfortable with them in single season too. Like, they're super
for sure.
Cheap. I mean, Philip Rivers, I've gotten him on some of these, you know, auction best balls that I've done. He's, nobody likes him. He goes cheap every time. So that's kind of the tier that I end up with from quarterbacks. Running back, like I said, I've gone after Bell for single season.
Yeah.
I traded away, I think, all my dynasty shares of him.
Which makes sense.
So it kind of, this is going after him in single season stuff is kind of my way to hedge that.
Sure.
Trying to think if there's any wide receivers that I've specifically targeted or gotten a lot of. I don't think there are, because wide receivers where I really feel that I can hit on some guys that are going to produce for less money than what they should. And that allows me to make that costly investment at running back. Tight end, I feel like I've gotten Kyle Rudolph for a decent price a lot. Right. People don't seem to be as impressed with him. I mean, he ends up being cheap. The top tight ends go for a ridiculous amount because people just want to lock that in. So I'll go for Kyle Rudolph, and even lower than that, if I've really overspent at quarterback and running back, I'll go after the pair in Indianapolis and try and get Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron.
Okay.
You know, it's probably more Eric Ebron because he is dirt cheap. Yeah. But I'll take Jack Doyle for just above dirt cheap, like grass level cheap. If
Like, well, right now, Doyle's a $3 AAV. I find I'm getting guys like Jarrett. I'm getting Jarrett Cook all the time. That seems to be my guy.
He's probably like a dollar, unless somebody else nominates him, then he's $2.
Yeah, and no one nominates him, and you just go, sit on your tight end forever. And I'm not afraid of streaming those onesie positions in redraft. So, doing
Nor
it that way.
That's the best way to do it. Yeah. If you're filling a starting slot for a dollar.
Like, yeah.
That allows you to spend so much more money so many other places. I mean, I know people love getting Gronkowski, but what's his average auction value?
Right now we have him at $33.
So if you're spending $33 on him, so that just limits you so much in what you can do elsewhere. I mean, $33 actually doesn't sound like a terrible price for him.
Yeah, but it just, in a 12 team PPR is what that is for, yeah.
But it's going to limit your flexibility when you have to overspend to get the guys you want, you're not going to be able to afford $33. And if you've already spent that, people are going to look at your budget and they know how far they can push you until you're out of the auction on a player.
Yeah. And that's why I like to go into the $1 range for those onesie positions. And then you know what? I'm not afraid to drop Jared Cook either and pick up someone else off of waivers because I only spent $1 on him. I'm not that invested in him. Right. So
yeah. And people, one thing with auctions is, I mean, what is something that people really fail to do. As soon as the auction's over, how much does the auction value actually matter?
It doesn't.
None. There is, it's literally of zero use. Like if you try to trade somebody and they're like, well, you paid this much for him. Nope. Doesn't matter anymore. Literally doesn't matter because every guy is now worth the same amount. He's rostered or not rostered. Like, that's it. Those are what matter now. Not the fact that, you know, somebody paid 25 for him. That's something people don't take into account enough, especially when they're considering dropping. They'll think, oh man, I spent $15 on this guy. But if you don't cut him when you should cut him, you're just making that investment, that initial investment, you're making it worse.
Right.
And sticking it on your roster. So it is nice to have $1 guys to cut, you know, because they're easy to cut. It is a little bit harder to cut when you've spent, 20% on a guy and he's not really performing. He's a bust. Sometimes you have to just bite that bullet and get rid of him and move on. I mean, hopefully not spending that much on a guy that's busting like that, but it does happen.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where, the draft is only 1/3 of the championship team, right? You have to work the waiver properly. You have to do your starting lineups properly. So, I mean, we do all this effort for the draft and I mean, it's the most fun. It's all those things, but it really is only 1/3 of it. Just like in regular football, you got to remember the special teams and the other side of the football too, right?
Yeah.
So that's something I think we forget because we spend so much effort getting ready for the draft. And you're right. You got to be able to cut the guys when you got to cut them. And it's funny, the psychology though, you only spent $1 on a guy, you're not afraid to just dump him. But yeah,
that guy only cost me $1. He's, I got him at Dollar Tree, so I'll just move on.
Yeah, move on to the next guy. Absolutely. So do you find anybody out there right now outside of Gronkowski, cause you just mentioned him, that you're just simply not targeting cause time and time again, he's just costing too much?
I mean, not really. There's really no specific player that I won't pay the right price for. I mean, like I said before, I hate John Ross, but for a dollar, I'll take him, right. So I am 100% about how much does this player cost. And what that also does for me is it gives me a lot of diversity across my, roster portfolio. I have so many rosters and I have so many different shares because I've created all these rosters differently because in one auction, this guy went for way more than I thought he should. And then in the next auction, this guy went for way less than I thought he should. So I just went ahead and got him. Like this. So I don't have anybody that I will like really just say, there's no chance I will take that guy. If I go into an auction thinking that, that's something that limits me.
Right.
I don't like to be limited at all in my auctions.
Yeah. Well, and I like that idea. It's something Slim's been talking about lately where he's maybe been overanalyzing over and over again and always looking for values and looking for deals and doing those types of things. And he's maybe overthinking it. And I like listening to you, you kind of go in with a clean slate and you, mm-hmm. you know how to work the nominations, you know how to adjust your budgets on the fly, and you're letting the auction come to you. And I like the sounds of that.
Yeah. I mean, if you go in expecting something out of it, a lot of times what you're going to do, if you're really strict to sticking to a plan, you're going to come out with something that fits into this little puzzle that you created before mm-hmm. you knew what all the variables were.
Sure. Like,
those variables change. So sometimes the puzzle has to change. So
right.
I try to go in and just try and watch the puzzle develop as it's developing and then figure out what I'm going to do.
And the slow draft allows you really to do that too, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can really
for
take
sure.
your time to find your way through. And that's where in yeah. these, in the fast drafts, you know, even if you're doing it online or if you're doing it live, we often recommend having a few different strategies at least so that when it does start to move one way and you know, at least you know where you're going to go in that regards. Like, you know, what is your team going to look like if you spend big at receiver? What's your team going to look like if you spend big at running back and have that ability to be able to be flexible within the draft and rather than sitting there and, you know, taking out your scientific calculator during the draft and trying to figure out where you're going to be, you know, someone's on the board, but you're sitting there trying to figure out the math. Right. So we try to kind of have that idea too, where you have a couple of game plans just so that you know, guys, you're going to target. Oh, geez, you know what? I overspent at running back. Well, Isaiah Crowell and, you know, Marshawn Lynch are guys that I'm looking for now, or Geo, like you had mentioned, you know, some of those types of ideas, at least having those ideas in your head. And I like to sit, I did it last night when I was out at the cottage. I was sitting out there having a beer and the wind blowing through my bald head. And, I was going to say through my hair, but that didn't make any sense. And, I just take out a piece of paper and I go, okay, so if I spend $110 at running back, what could my team look like? Oh, okay. Well, if I spend $110 at receiver, what does my team look like? Huh. Okay. And just kind of, these are guys I'm going to target if it goes this way. And these are guys I'm going to target if it goes that way. But at the same time, being flexible in the draft, because you never know what the hell is going to happen. I ended up with three New Orleans Saints the other night, but I was okay with that. Drew Brees paired with Mike Thomas? Yes, please. Drew Brees paired with Alvin Kamara? Yes, please. High-powered yeah. offense, three guys on the same roster. That's okay. I didn't mind that because, they score in different ways, but you tie yeah, it to
and you're
Drew
gonna
Brees so,
you're
and you
gonna
get a
soak
good
up, You're going to soak up all those points then. Yeah. I mean, at some point, like, yeah, Kamara's probably going to have a down game. But if he has a down game, it's probably because Brees and Thomas are having a good game. So,
exactly.
I mean, yeah, there's going to be plenty of weeks where they all have great games, and then you've got really nice value. But the worst outcome is usually, okay, two of them are going to be good. You know, maybe Thomas goes away, but Kamara has a big game. And if he has a big game, he's probably involved somewhat in the passing game,
exactly.
which helps Brees. So I'm not afraid to roster three guys. A lot of people don't like that, so – I understand why they don't, because they think it limits the upside, but it also, I think to me, it also locks in kind of a floor a little bit. If it's a high powered offense, two of those three guys are usually going to have a good week.
Yeah, exactly.
And when the third one has a good week too, you've hit it.
Right. So let's say you're starting an auction tomorrow. What are a couple of your like starting nominations? Like what are kind of your favorite early moves to do?
It depends on the league format. I will, you know, if it's super flex, I'm throwing up quarterbacks because I want to see where that market's going to set. And like I said, if I can do multiples, I'm going to do one on each side of the spectrum. I'm going to put up Aaron Rodgers as fast as I can. I'm going to raise his price. I want to see what happens if it's a slow auction. If it's a live fast auction, I'd do the same thing. I would put up Rodgers. I would be out immediately. Because then I know that I don't have to worry about it, but I'm going to sit there and just watch the bidding.
Right.
You know, if you're on a website, they all put the little flag next to everybody that's bidding that yeah. it shows the numbers. I can immediately assess then how just about everybody in the room is attacking the quarterback position based on how they're bidding.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pick it up pretty fast, even in a fast auction. Maybe you want to see one more quarterback go up just to make sure you're right. But if there's one or two guys that are just kind of sitting out and they're not bidding at all, you can basically peg those guys as late round QB guys. these aren't the guys that are going to spend up for quarterback. So if you're battling one of them for a running back, you can then expect that they're going to pay more for a running back.
More, right.
So you can maybe run them up if you want, or at least feel a little less risky when you start bidding high numbers, because they're probably going to come over the top of you. So those are some of my favorite things to do. Find out, the quicker you can find out, like I said, the quicker you can find out how everybody else is auctioning, the better off you're going to be.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I like that. So, what I liked about having you on tonight is that you spoke to that slow auction much more than we typically do. We don't get involved in a whole lot of that, and I haven't done one for, well, I bet you it's been a couple of years. So
I'm going to have to get you guys involved in some.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're
for sure.
Fun.
Yeah, well, and it's a whole different way of looking at it. And I know Blister was talking about the other day, like it's got to be a scary thing when you see like all these names up at the same time, and then what are you doing, right? Like, we're so used to just acting on our gut and going, and
yeah, it's a whole different level of, I mean, you have to time your bids appropriately. You want to time them like kind of so that they go off when everybody's asleep. You know, if it's a 12-hour clock.
Yeah.
You put your bids in at like 5 p.m. And then, you know, people go to bed. They see, oh, there's still 7 hours left on that clock. And they wake up and the guy's gone. I mean, there's a whole level of how to bid, in the slow auctions that, I mean, it is something you can't just know how to do or read and how to do it. You have to practice it so that you can start to get a feel for the room. So.
Right. Well, that's awesome. And it's, like I say, it's something that we haven't addressed over the course of the summer here. So for our listeners that are doing some of those slow drafts or are interested in starting to do it, like now they're starting to hear some of the tendencies and some of the moves and some of the things that are going on. So, it was great time in having you on. We're going to have to make sure that we have you on again next year, and we'll have to do a slow draft special.
Yeah, I'm for it. Let's do some slow auctions when the off season starts.
Yeah.
As soon as MFL turns over, let's just start doing it. You know, I'll send you the invite and you can jump into some of them, and we'll start to just have that feel, and then we'll come on here and we'll chat about it after a little while.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. That's excellent. Okay. Well, before we wrap things up here, John, why don't you just tell everybody where they can find you, where they can listen to your shows, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. Let's see if I can get it right now.
Sure.
I'm going to read off the show notes since it's correct.
So, slim.
This will be the first time I get to tell people to find me on Twitter at John Bosch FF. So that, that feels weird. but yeah, find me on Twitter. That's where you can, I mean, I'm there all the time. I'm pretty active on Twitter.
Absolutely.
My shows, you can find me. It's on the first one's on the Dynasty Trade Calculator feed, and that's Dynasty Wall Street. That's Kevin Cotillo, Riley Bymaster, and me. And we just literally talk about player values. We each pick a player to bring to the table each week and give what his dynasty trade value is. And then we compare him to some other players at the same position. And it's a pretty quick hitting show where we end up discussing about 10 to 15 players a week, but we really hit hard on, main three.
Sure.
And my other podcast is, you're going to learn a little bit, but it's definitely a lot less hard hitting. Not that Wall Street's hard hitting, but, it's definitely a lot more laid back and relaxed. And that's Dynasty Game Night that I host with Matt Price of DLF. We just have a good time on that show. We play games. It is all centered around Dynasty. So we play games based on like the ADP, the trade values. We just, bring in a couple of other people to compete each week, or every other week, I should say, not each week, every other week. And we just play games and have fun. And it's an entertaining show. I mean, people listen to it. They do say, some say they learn some things about it. I mean, we do discuss ADP and that's beneficial to people and know where people are going. But,
it is lots of fun.
Just
I found
fun.
Myself playing along. Like I told you, I'm literally out loud saying, let's see, who's got an ADP around this guy? And I found myself, I was literally playing along, which annoyed my wife, like I mentioned earlier, but it is lots of fun for sure.
That's what we love to hear, honestly. Like, that's what everybody tells us. They're like, oh, I was listening. I knew the answer. And there's just, nobody was answering. And like, people get so frustrated. Like, why didn't they get that? Like, so anytime somebody sends me a message, like, that was such an easy question. How'd they mess it up? Like, my heart gets a little bit swollen just because I'm like, ah, somebody's listening and gets it. Because anytime I was listening to a podcast, and you know, they'd play like one game at the end of a podcast, and I'm sitting there playing along, and finally Matt and I were talking, and he does the same thing, and we're like, you know, we should just do one just this. Because people have fun. It's an interactive show. We get a lot of people tweeting at us and sending us Voxer messages and stuff whenever the show hits. And every time it's fun. I mean, people seem to really enjoy the show. So it's great. I'm glad that it's found as much success that it's found. So
yeah, no, and it is lots of fun. And I mean, I was trying to show off for my wife. You know, like, name drop. She doesn't care. She doesn't pay attention. It's not neither here nor there, but it was lots of fun. And we used to do a game, when we did the in-season stuff, we used to call it This Is the Man. And we would just – I'd take two guys, and the guys had to pick who they were going to – who would perform better that week. And then we just kept a running total for the entire year. And it was a case of beer at the end of the year. And, you know, we had the running totals and, oh, Slim's 4 points behind this week and whatever. And it's fun from my end to – it was fun from my end to try to – figure out like those perfect dichotomies to really get them where they didn't know what the right answer was going to be.
That is fun. Anything that can make, anything you can compete over. I mean, literally, like I'll compete over anything. I like to win when I play Go Fish. You know, when my kids, when my kids were little, I didn't like losing at Go Fish. So anything you can compete with is just fun.
And then the problem is now I can't wait to get Madden 19, play with my son, and he'll kick my arse all over the TV as a 12-year-old. And then it's humbling. It's not, but anyways, I still like to compete though. I still get mad if he, but at least it's better. There's no real like kind of like cheat code that he can do and that, you know, that move over and over and over again. He likes to run a drag with a tight end. So I make sure that I always pop him coming off the line, and he doesn't like that, but it's fun. Anyways, okay. So, thanks, John. Thanks so much for coming on. It's some really good content. Like I said, stuff that we haven't been hitting on, especially that slow auction stuff. We'll definitely have to have you on again next year to go through. And like I say, do a special, and we should, definitely get in a couple of leagues with you of those best balls too. Cause I think that'd be lots of fun for us.
Yeah, of course. And I'm not joking. Like we can easily do a whole show on slow auction strategy. There's a lot to talk about there. It's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, and so I think if we get involved in a couple so we get a little bit of a feel for it, it'd make for a pretty good show.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, awesome. So you can find John on Twitter. It's John Bosch FF, the new handle. So, John, we'll see you on Twitter. Slim and Blister, I know you guys are listening. You guys are in different towns or cities or whatever right now, so I'll see you guys later. And for the rest of you, I'll see you when it's springtime in the Rockies.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back to you.